welcome.
Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokeinu. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokeinu. Nachamu, Nachamu,
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio brought to you by the OU Israel Center in Jerusalem. I'm your host Phil Chernofsky, and this show is not for Shabbat Nachamu. That was last Shabbat, but since last week's show was on Tisha B'Av itself, I decided to begin this week's show with Nachamu Nachamu Shlomo Carlbach to put us into the Nechama mode, even though things that are happening in Israel are not yet in that mode. It is Yom Chamishi, the 16th of Menachem of 5766. This week is Shabbat Parshat Akev, and it is August 10th, 2006. Before we get into Parshat HaShavua, let's say not only the regular Psalm 130, but Psalm 121, chapter Kuf, Kaf, Aleph as well. Shir la ma'alot, esa enai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tseisecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. In the art scroll Tehillim, this chapter is headed a declaration of faith and a prayer for God's constant protection. Quite appropriate in the times. 130 is headed a person in distress prays to God from the depths of his heart. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmor yah Adonai miya amod. Ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula, hashta bagala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Whenever Parshat Akev rolls around, there are two very powerful, let's call them ideas or messages, concepts that jump at me from the pages, and I feel more than obligated to share those with all who will listen. I gave a shiur earlier at which I spoke of both of those points, and I'd like to share that recording with you now. The two points, by the way, are very different from each other, and yet I have this feeling that if either or both of them hit home and people improve in one way or another as a result, then it's part of the war effort also.
If I had to pick the moment that I made my final decision to live in Israel for the rest of my life, It happened 12 years before I actually came, but I know that that's when it happened. I had been thinking about it before, but in summer 69, I was the madrich of a summer group of high school kids to Israel, and on the afternoon of Shabbat Nachamu, Voed Hanan, one of the boy that was supposed to give the Dvar Torah at Shalosh Shudas came to me and said, I forgot all about it, I'm not prepared, I'm not going to speak. And my job was to pinch hit. And we had just finished Mincha. Mincha is the beginning of Akev. That's this week's Sedra. And a pasuk jumped off the page and smacked me between the eyes. And I really can tell you, from that moment, I spoke about it because it was hurting between my eyes. And it has it became sort of like a motto and a flag of a notion which I have subsequently found several places in the Chumash, mostly in the Book of Devarim. And that is simply the idea that the reason we exist as a nation, the reason that there are Jewish people in the world, the reason that God took us out of Egypt was to give us Torah and mitzvot to be lived in Eretz Yisrael. It almost is too simple. And things get a little complicated, obviously. But let's, you know, as long as I'm on it, let's go back to the beginning. The beginning is the first prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, where God says, I have heard the cries of the people, and I will go down to the land of Egypt to take the people out in order to bring them to the land of Canaan. It's described a little more flowery than that. Eretz Tova Urchava, a good and expansive land. It mentions there for the first time Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. But the point, very strong, I believe, is that God said it in one pasuk. He didn't say, I'm going to go in to take them out of Egypt to relieve them from their bondage. And, oh, by the way, I intend to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. It's in the same pasuk. I am taking them out. I'm going down into Egypt to take them out in order to bring them to the land flowing with milk and honey. Then, that's in Shemot. Then in Va'era at the beginning, God tells Moshe to tell the people, I will take you out of Egypt, redeem you from the bondage, excise you from the civilization there. I will bring you unto me as a nation, and I will become your God, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. There it's in three different psukim. It's like a plan. Phase one, get you out of Egypt. Phase two, give you the Torah. Phase three, bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Now, bringing us out of Egypt, I don't know if it was put to any kind of vote or consensus. We just left. Although, we had to do certain things in order to get out. When it came to Torah, our response as a nation was with two magic words, Na'aseh v'nishma. And I could picture in my mind's eye, kivyochol, so to speak, God saying, good answer, good answer. Survey says, right? Good answer. That's what I wanted to hear. The Torah is yours. Now phase three, Eretz Yisrael. I believe God was waiting for two words for that also, which he got from one person after the people said, ooh, maybe we should send a delegation ahead and see what it's like and figure out how to best enter it. And Moshe laments in Devarim that he thought it was a good idea. And he asked God, and God said, I don't prefer this, but if you want to, shlach lecha anashim, you send them. And he did, and they came back, and the rest is history. One person, Kolev, grabbed the microphone from the 10 spies and said, alo na'ale. Another two magic words. In the first case of Naaseh v'Nishma, it was Vayomru Kol Ha'am Yachtav, the entire nation together proclaimed Naaseh v'Nishma. In this case, the one voice against them all. The rest of them said, either let's go back to Egypt, or let's stay here in the Midbar, or what? You took us out of Egypt because there weren't enough burial places there to kill us off in the Midbar. What are you doing? And only Kalev said, alo na'aleh. But that wasn't the plan, so to speak. The plan was Yetziat Mitzrayim, Torah and Mitzvot, Eretz Yisrael. The particular pasuk that hit me was Kol HaMitzvah, all the body of mitzvah. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I am commanding you this day, Tishmerun La'asot, you shall be careful to do, to preserve and to keep and to do, L'ma'an Tichyun, so that by that you will live, Urvitem, and multiply, Uvatem, Zirishtem, et Ha'aretz, and go and settle the land which God gave your ancestors. A couple of psukim later, and that's what I did write about in the lead tidbit, it says in a beautiful, beautiful, I tell you, I'm in charge of the Mincha Gedola Minyan in my shul on Shabbat afternoon, 1:20, and I lane most often at Mincha. There is no Mincha Shabbos laning to match Akev. First of all, it's the longest one. It's a 25 pasuk thing, which is very unusual. But it has such that you get shivers, where God says, keep Torah and mitzvot, because I am bringing you to a land, and the description there, anybody have a chumash on them? I don't want to even try it by heart, but I should know. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha El Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachalei Mayim, a land of springs and streams and water from the deep that flows into the valley and the hill. Eretz Chita Usaora, a land of wheat and barley and grapes and figs, pomegranates, olives and dates. Eretz Asher Lo B'miskenut Tochal Bo Lechem, a land where people will not have scarcity when they eat bread. Haha, you expect me to read that? Yes, since I upped my glasses to 1.75 from 1.5, I should be able to do it.
Join the club?
Yeah. Well, I joined it 13 years ago when I got my first reading glasses.
So she's 85.
All right. Vishomarta et mitzvot Hashem Elokecha lolechet bidrachav uliraoto. You shall guard, preserve, keep the mitzvot of God, your God, to follow in His ways and to revere Him. Ki, because He is bringing you to Eretz Yisrael. There is a constant reminder of this connection. Now here's the problem. The problem is that we gave the right answer and attitude in accepting the Torah. We blew it in the beginning with Eretz Yisrael. Finally, after 40 years of wandering, we got in. And 7 years of conquest and 7 years of distribution of the land, and the Mishkan from the Midbar in this place and then in that place, and it hadn't yet found its place. And then it went to a place where at least the boards of the walls were no longer temporary and taken apart all the time and reconnected, but stone walls in the same dimensions as the Mishkan and the Midbar were built in Shiloh. And the coverings were the same from the Midbar, the furnishings were the same from the Midbar, and the Mishkan in Shiloh lasted 369 years. Next stop, Jerusalem, Beit HaMikdash. First Beit HaMikdash, 410 years. Till it was built was 480 years from Yetziat Mitzrayim. 480 and 410 is 890. I'm trying to remember if the 40 years of wandering has to be added or not, but let's say not. 890 years on our way into Eretz Yisrael, conquering it, settling it, and finally building the Beit HaMikdash and living. And betraying God. We betrayed the Torah, we worshipped Avodah Zarah, and all kind of other nasty things. And what's interesting is God did not take the Torah back from us. We kept it, and we took it into exile, but he took Eretz Yisrael away. Because our acquisition of Torah was solid, never to be lost. Our acquisition of Eretz Yisrael was very, very conditional upon behavior. The Torah always says that. And that's why this portion of Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviyacha Al Eretz Tova, God is bringing you into a good land, it's a beautiful thing, begins with the previous pasuk of Vishamarta et Mitzvot Hashem, you shall keep the mitzvot, Hashem Elokecha. Where'd it go? Vishamarta. Et mitzvot Hashem Elokecha lalechet bidrachav liyirato. And then several psukim, four of them actually, in description of the beautiful land which we are coming to, concluding with, therefore, v'yochalta v'savata uv'irachta at Hashem Elokecha al haaretz hatova asher natan lach, that God gave you. Want to make sure that I read that correctly. Yeah. So, for betraying God and being unfaithful to Torah and mitzvot, we lost Eretz Yisrael and we were exiled. Then we came back after 70 years of exile. Pitiful, small minority of the people came back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it was not destined to be the permanent place yet, even though the Beit HaMikdash was physically more splendid than the first one. Its spirituality was less. It lasted 420 years, but they were turbulent times of Greek oppression and then Roman oppression and all kind of other things here and there. And the exile from that continues to last a lot longer than the 70 years, a lot longer. And now we're coming back, the last 100, 150 years, whatever, including all of us, most of us, and we're trying it again. But the message has to be reinforced. Now, I said before, here's the problem. The problem is, when we were exiled from Israel, we had the Torah. And we thrived in our Jewish communities by shrugging our shoulders and crying a little bit. Woe unto us, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, but we're alive, We struggle. We have the Torah. We keep Shabbos. We keep Kashrut. We build shuls. We build mikvahs. We build yeshivot. And we do the best we can as a Jewish community wherever we find ourselves. Relegating Zion, relegating our thoughts of Eretz Yisrael to a picture on the wall, to an embroidered design on a talis and tefillin bag, to the lip service of Lashana Haba Yerushalayim on Yom Kippur and on the Seder, and to all other kind of things, and sometimes the crying is genuine and sometimes it's just a song, but when we had a situation where we could not live in Eretz Yisrael, then it became very praiseworthy that we clung to the Torah and it to us, and we thrived as a Jewish community outside of Eretz Yisrael. We did so well that people ask, who needs Israel? Just like I never thought of it exactly in this way. Just like the leaders of the tribes, except for Yoshua and Kalev, back in the Midbar, where they said, look at what we have here. God took us out of Egypt. He gives us food from heaven in the form of man. He gives us water in the form of a miraculous well that accompanies us. And before we got the well, there was the special stick that was thrown into the bitter water to make it sweet. There was hitting a rock and having water come out of it. There was hitting a rock again at the end, water coming out of it, and the well all of the most of the 40 years. And we say actually in Akev, so it fits into what I'm saying now, because part of what Moshe Rabbeinu says to them is this 40-year period that you've been wandering, Simlatcha lo valta me'alecha, the clothes on your backs didn't wear out, Viraglecha lo batseka, the clothes grew with you miraculously, your shoes didn't wear out, Ze arba'im shana, these 40 years. Before that, he tells them about the mun, he repeats, I mean, they're still eating mun at this point. Soon they won't, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they'll start growing their own food. But this 40-year period, you should not view, my words now, you should not view as the ultimate existence of the Jewish people, which is what the Meraglim kind of had in mind. What more can we possibly need than protection from the heavenly clouds of glory, shoes that don't wear out, clothes that grow on your back, food that's presented from heaven, water that's miraculous, and the source of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu in their midst, teaching Torah, and the people developing that way. So they said, they planned or plotted to discourage the people, and they did a very good job of it, to discourage the people from going into Eretz Yisrael, because why ruin a good thing? And today, people feel the same way about the Jewish community that they have built in Muncie, or in Teaneck, or in Borough Park, or you name your own favorite community, Kew Gardens Hills. And when you talk to people from these places, they swell with pride. We now have a glatt kosher Japanese restaurant. We have, someone told me this years ago, we had Dunkin' Donuts, Shomer Shabbos, and kosher before you did in Jerusalem. Big deal. We have Jerusalem. But they don't see that. They see all the other parts of living a Jewish life. They have centuries of exile to pat themselves on the back, to say, look at the Jewish life we've created for ourselves, because there was a long period of time where we could not come here. But once you're able to come here, it doesn't become anything to boast about. We have everything we need there. You don't, because God had a plan. The plan we messed up, but it doesn't mean we canceled it. The plan is still a plan. So when the Torah speaks It is speaking not just as a historical record of what happened 3,000 plus years ago. It is speaking to the Jewish people today. What makes this fresh is when God says, and I will bring you to the land, or I am giving you a land that flows with water and this and that and the other thing. He's talking to us. And Ashrecha, all of us who live here, hopefully it was, but it almost doesn't make a difference why, but hopefully it was an answer to this spiritual yearning of the Jewish people. But there are a lot of other people that still have to answer that urge. I spoke to someone yesterday. Elderly mother, can't leave her alone. That's fine. No, can't come, she won't come, whatever. So, breaking up a family, and especially when it's elderly parents that need the support of children, that's an excuse. And it's maybe a good excuse. But it has to be viewed as an excuse not to dismiss the call of Eretz Yisrael, but to put it on hold and to really pine for it and long for it. I have friends of both types, friends who I actually see their heart crying because they're not here for whatever reason. I have other friends who laugh at you. I still remember the people who told me when I told him 25 years ago that I was going on Aliyah, what are you, out of your mind? And I felt good that I was out of my mind. I felt good that somebody told me that. The fact that it was a very high-ranking executive in the religious Zionists of America sort of didn't make me feel so good, because of all people, he was the one that was supposed to encourage this, not tell you you're out of your mind for going. But that's the story. Now, put all of that aside for the time being, because that's one glaring message that to me comes out of Akev. It comes out of what Hanan also, it comes out in Re'eh, but it's in Akev that it really hits you, I believe. There's another idea, there's another concept which, as I said earlier, I can't shake. And it is the awareness that certain mitzvot, which we do all the time, need special work to be done properly. The one time a year mitzvot take care of themselves. There's an excitement when you go to shul to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There's an excitement when you polish up your Chanukiah and you get your oil and wick for candles or whatever, and you get ready to light the Chanukiah. And Pesach night with the Seder and the Matzah, all of these sukkah, building the sukkah and eating in the sukkah, these are the special once-in-a-while mitzvot that the excitement is generated by its nature. Contrast that with the mitzvot of Akev, some of the mitzvot of Akev and the end of Vod Hanan. Shema. Twice a day, at least, every single day of your life. Davening. Three times a day, or twice, or once, whatever the case may be, every day of your life. Benching. Every meal. Brachot, which is a subdivision of benching, all the time. Those are the ones that don't generate their own excitement except on rare occasions. You know what bracha brings its own excitement if you're into it? The first time in the month of Nisan, when you go out and you see fruit trees in blossom and you make a once a year bracha, yeah, but that's not fair. That's like shofar, that's like sukkah, that's like lulav, that's like matzah, that's like Hanukkah candles, that's like Megillat Esther. But the everyday bracha, shahakol niyah bidvaro, estimate once how many times you have said that bracha in the course of your life so far. It's amazing how many times. How many times have you said Shema? Therefore, you need not a review to understand it like you do sometimes with once a year mitzvot, but you need to take a fresh look sometimes at Birkat HaMazon, at Brachot in general, at Tefillah, a specific Tefillah or Tefillah in general, and part of that, which is really its own separate mitzvah, the reciting of Kriyat Shema. The other day, yesterday morning, I gave a shiur. We didn't get too far, but we took a look at some of the elements of Shema. I don't mean the real nitty-gritty detail. We didn't get a chance to do that. I'm talking about what can fit into 2 to 5 to 10 seconds of kavana, which we don't always have. How many people rush through the Shema, begin it as soon as they're ready, without pausing and conjuring up in a shorter period of time than it takes me to tell you this, what Shema is? Shema is a statement, a confirmation, a reconfirmation of belief in God, in belief in God's unity, in acceptance of the yoke of heaven with love. This is the theory. This doesn't mean that everybody's going to do this every time he says Shema. Then the acceptance upon oneself of the yoke of mitzvot. Then an acknowledgement and a reconfirmation of one's belief in reward and punishment. A very important fundamental of Judaism. Then a fulfillment of the mitzvah to remember the exodus from Egypt every day of your life. The last pasuk in the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim lehiyot lachem le'elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem, is the main fulfillment of Lema'an Tizkor et Yom Tzeitecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Interesting. We have another mitzvah of remembering Egypt, and that's once a year. At the Seder table, you have the command of telling the story of the Exodus, and of eating matzah to commemorate, and eating moror to commemorate, and eating Korban Pesach, not now, but we have it, to commemorate. And that's a one-time thing. But at the Seder, we also stress the other dimension of the Exodus, and that's the daily reminder. It's two things. It's have your big once-a-year bash, that's called Pesach, and it's celebrated primarily with the Seder, and then the rest of the week. But then you've got an every single day obligation, which is fulfilled twice a day when you say that last pasuk in Shema. Now what comes on top of what I've been saying is the requirement of kavana. You can say Shema faithfully twice every day, morning and night, but if you don't pause for 1 second before that last pasuk, and you say in your mind, I am about to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus every day of my life, you blow a beautiful opportunity. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, beginning of the Aseret HaDibrot, the first words that we heard from God Himself. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim. That, by the way, would also fulfill the mitzvah to remember the Exodus, but we had a problem with the Aseret HaDibrot. Sometime in the past, I don't know when it actually happened, there was a proposal to include the Aseret HaDibrot into the daily davening. Think about it. It really belongs there because of how significant it is in the history of receiving the Torah. It was rejected. The vote came out not to allow a daily public recitation of the Aseret HaDibrot, because of people who misunderstood the role of the Aseret HaDibrot. There are people today, and there were people throughout Jewish history and non-Jewish history, who say, I study the Bible. The Bible says that God gave the Ten Commandments at Sinai. Jewish tradition says the entire Torah was given at Sinai. And therefore, to shut the mouths of those who claim the Aseret HaDibrot is the Word of God, as opposed to the rest of the Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu created, we rejected the pitch to put in the Aseret HaDibrot into davening, because they would point to it and say, see, see, I told you how important it is. Look where it is, right in daily prayer. So we don't do it. There was a period in history where the figure of the Luchot was forbidden to be used in synagogue decoration. Now it's very common. The curtains of the Ark and the covering of the Torahs and windows and benches all a lot of times have Luchot. But there was a period of time where it wasn't allowed, because of the fear that people will say, that is what we got from God and nothing else. That's why there's a very strong feeling against the custom of standing for the Torah reading of Aseret HaDibrot. And there are people who won't. And there are people who will always stand for the whole Torah, not just for Aseret HaDibrot. That's the harder way to get around the problem. And other kind of excuses. Now, had we been saying the Aseret HaDibrot, we wouldn't need maybe the third passage of the Shema. But rather than use the Aseret HaDibrot with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we found another pasuk. Not we, our sages found a manageable piece, one parsha of five psukim only, which is the parsha called Tzitzit, which finishes with a reference to God taking us out of Egypt, which also refers to Tzitzit being a reminder of all mitzvot, which makes it a perfect companion to the second passage of Shema, which comes from Parshat Ekev, by the way, and that's V'hoyaim Shamoa, that speaks of mitzvot. So the package of Kriyat Shema is very significant, most significant if you conjure up that extra little tiny bit of kavana. It's almost not fair that some mitzvot get these hinnini muchan uzuman, right?
Yeah.
And you sort of what's the opposite of wind down? You build up, warm up. You warm up to the mitzvah of counting the Omer if you're in a place where they sing Hineni Muchan Mezuman. Kemo shekatuv batorah usfartem lachem mimocharat haShabbat. All of that is meant to focus you. You are about to fulfill the mitzvah of counting the Omer, and you got it. We don't have a Hineni Muchan Mezuman l'kayem mitzvah taseh shol kriyat shma pamayim bayom, or even Birkat HaMazon. However, I have seen for inventors, right before benching, where it says, just l'shem mitzvat Birkat HaMazon. You should need that little tiny extra to focus you, because otherwise this is how benching goes for a lot of people. Watch me. How many times you see people doing people are benching by reflex, and they're consolidating the crumbs on the table, straightening up the salt shaker, etc., etc., etc. It requires a focus and a concentration, which is hard because we do it all the time. You don't really need that push for shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Shofar is there. And what do we do? we say a passage in Tehillim seven times, and we say responsively with a shofar blower psukim that are meant to inspire, and then we hear the brachot of shofar, and everybody is waiting to do that mitzvah. Borrow a little bit of that kavana focus to the things that we tend to take for granted. Kriyat Shema, Birkat HaMazon, Brachot. You know, let's boil down for a minute all of Birkat HaMazon and all of davening and all of any statement to one 9-word bracha when you take a sip of water. A sip of water, you say 9 words which you can rush through. Baruch Adonai Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro, drink. Or you can say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bara Nehiyah Bedvaro. Doing it a little slower than you usually do, and giving it that extra second and a half of kavana before. Think about what that bracha says. You're saying that God is blessed, and He is the source of all bracha. He is our God. He is the master of the universe. And everything, every single thing, not just this sip of water, everything in existence came into existence by His divine command. That means that when you say Shema Yisrael and you cover your eyes, you're acknowledging God as God, our God, and that He is one. When you say a bracha shakol ni'am bedvaro or any other bracha, you're doing the same kind of thing. You're acknowledging God as the master of the universe. You're acknowledging and accepting Him as your God. And you're making the statement that I believe in the truth of the Torah that said, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. All of that condensed into 9 words when you take a measly sip of water. Anybody a Reader's Digest reader or used to be a Reader's Digest reader? I remember one of the features called Life in These United States. All right, little anecdotes for which somebody gets $300 or $400 when they print it today. I get it on the internet sometimes. I clipped one, I have it in my files someplace, and I blew it up. Listen to the story that a woman writes for which she was paid $300. And she thought it was very amusing. And look at how different we are. We just started sending our daughter to Sunday school at the local church, and she comes back each Sunday very enthusiastic. She learned about saying grace at a meal. But when my husband went to the refrigerator to take out a can of beer, she said to him, Daddy, are you going to say grace on that also? Ha ha ha, amusing anecdote, $300 for life in these United States. When I read it, I said, Judaism says, of course, you say grace or whatever you want to call it. You make a bracha for a sip of water. The concept that you bless God for a full, satisfying meal exists in other cultures and other religions. But the idea that you're walking through a corridor and you see a water fountain and you're on your way to get something, but you just want to bend down for a tiny little sip, you still make a bracha, is an amazing, powerful thing that unfortunately we take for granted. Part of not taking it for granted can be accomplished by my talking about it every so often. Then I listen to myself, and at least the next sip of water that I make a bracha on will be more a more special bracha than the time before. And hopefully it'll continue like that. You cannot get up the emotion and the concentration that you apply to shofar blowing or that you apply to Yom Kippur on an everyday basis. It's just not normal. It's not the way people work. But we could borrow a little bit of that and realize how these things, which we do every day, I mean, a kid that's brought up in a religious family says Shema before he could make a sentence in English or in any language. Before he could put words together in a sentence, he's already saying Shema. I cannot remember when I first said Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, because I don't remember that far back. It came from childhood, from infancy. And I passed it on to my children that way. So what you got to do is say, you know, if a person's a Baal Tshuva, never made a bracha in his life, and now at age 25, 30, becomes committed to Judaism and starts making brachot, I could see the excitement for each one when he first learns them. The trick is to be excited at age 85 about making a bracha that you've been saying for the last 84 years.
Well, good to be reminded.
Well, that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. And Akev is a good seder to do that, especially since it's not loaded with mitzvot. Next week, Re'eh, 55 mitzvot. Shoftim, 41 mitzvot. Ki Teitze, 74 mitzvot. A total of 170 mitzvot in the next three sedras. It's very hard to concentrate on a mitzvah from those sedras because there's a flood. Akev has eight mitzvot altogether, and the ones that jump out at you are Birkat HaMazon and Tefillah, and they're very much related to each other. They're related to Shema, which is also from this Sedra, even though we learned it from last Sedra, because that's where the first passage is. But it's good stuff to do, and it's good stuff to say, and it's good stuff to think about. For Shema, by the way, I gave you the impression that we don't have any Hinni Muchan and Mezumon. Chazal did compose something instead. Two brachot in davening that are said before Shema. So when you say, especially the one right before Shema, Ahavat Olam, or Ahava Rabbah, that is a mood setter and a kavanah instiller for the Shema that you are about to say. There you speak of a great and deep and eternal love of God for the Jewish people. What a great way to introduce our statement of V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, that you must love God. And if you see it in the context of a mutual love, then it comes easier. Unrequited love doesn't hold. But when it's mutual, as Chazal told us in the bracha right before the Shema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people and gave us the Torah, and we ask for more than that. Just I'm drifting on to another topic now, but just to add one more idea. I had opportunity again to say this Devar Torah the other night at a bar mitzvah. If somebody were to wake me in the middle of a sleep and say, quick, give me a Devar Torah. Of course, you have to wash Netilat Yadayim and then say Birchot HaTorah if you've slept, but let's forget that. If somebody says, all right, you got one opportunity to say a Devar Torah, here's the new audience that never heard you speak, what do you tell them? This is what I tell them. When a person learns Torah and or teaches Torah, reads a piece of Torah, if the experience is one in the brain, in the mind, in the intellect, then what has been fulfilled is the mitzvah called Vishinantam Livanecha. The mitzvah to teach Torah and to learn Torah is presented in the phrase Vishinantam Livanecha. When it is an intellectual experience, the mitzvah is fulfilled. if you don't understand what somebody said in Torah, I don't know if you could call that a fulfillment of a mitzvah. You could give A for effort, but if you read a page of Chumash with Rashi and you don't understand anything, I don't know if that's called learning. But if you do read Rashi or somebody else, and you learn something from it with your head, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of learning Torah or teaching Torah. If, however, because there's more, the experience of Torah learning and teaching goes to your heart, comes from your heart, puts a sparkle in your eye, gets you excited emotionally about a beautiful interpretation or presentation of Rashi on this Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, or this Pasuk in the Torah, or this Tosfot in the Gemara, whatever. If you can get excited about it, then not only have you fulfilled the mitzvah of learning Torah, you fulfill the mitzvah called V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah to love God. Sefer Charedim, not to be confused with the term Charedim as it's used today. Sefer Charedim from the 1500s, I think, in Tzfat, a contemporary of the Arizal, wrote a work on the 613 mitzvot, in which he says that Ahavat Hashem is not just personal, it's how you are able to transmit it to other people. And he uses Avraham and Sarah, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, as the prime examples of people who took their belief in God to the street and brought in people and infected them, not the best word, inspired them to belief in God. That is a high form of Ahavat Hashem. In the bracha right before Shema, we say the following in the morning. We ask God, V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha, light up my eyes with Torah, V'dabek libenu b'mitzvotecha, and let my heart cling to your mitzvot. Not let me learn Torah and do mitzvot. I want more than that. I want to get excited about learning Torah. I want it to be an emotional experience when I do mitzvot. I want it to be more than an intellectual pursuit when I learn and teach. I want it to touch the heart. I want it to come from the heart and the mind and go into the mind and get down into the heart as well. That is Ahavat Hashem. That reflects Ahavat Hashem at a much higher level of Limud Torah.
We started the show with Nachamu Nachamu Ami from last week's Haftorah. Here now from an album called Borei Olam, the best of Hasidic hits, is a song from this week's Haftorah, not the opening pasuk, but the last pasuk, Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion.
Oh,
On that note, and with prayers to God for a speedy and successful end to the war up north and the hostilities down south and everything else, and to make things really, really good for the Jewish people in the land of Israel and anywhere they are, and I guess what we're asking for is the Geula Shlema, not too much less than that, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.